You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ray Parker. I played Darth Maul in Phantom Menace and Solo, A Star Wars Story, and G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes, and you're listening to Disney Universe Podcast.
We would be honored if you would join us.
To infinity and beyond!
I'm Mary Poppins, y'all!
You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing. It was all started by a mouse.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Disney Universe Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Joey. I'm actually, for the first time in 6 years, I'm here by myself. As you know, Alex and his wife, Addie, are in Walt Disney World right now on their honeymoon and his birthday. They're safe. They're having a great time. And we will hear a really cool trip report when he comes back. And also, Ryan will be back too. And so we're going to have a good time talking about Walt Disney World and kind of the stuff they did. But yeah, I'm alone here, but it's okay because I have a great guest for this episode, episode 119 to be specific. We have Josh Schaefer, the Disney guy, great author, pen maker, Tinkerbell's PR. You'll get one of that. We'll talk to him real soon. This is somebody I've been wanting to have on the show for a long time. Ran into him at numerous Mouse Cons and D23s and finally made it happen. So we'll be talking to him shortly. But the reason I am doing this alone, we got our normal, what we call housekeeping stuff to do. So like I said, this is episode 119. If you're new to the show, welcome. We're really happy that you found us and interact with us on any one of our many social medias. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, mostly Instagram. You can follow us there. That's where we do a lot more of our traffic there. I have continued to post on Facebook here and there, and I just reshare stuff on Twitter, but I'm mostly active on Instagram. And all of those are at Disney Universe Podcast. I believe Twitter is Disney Universe Pod. So yeah, we're there. Of course, if you're listening to us, please subscribe. You'll be notified every time we upload a new show. We're going to get back to the twice a month as you know, things have been busy, but we're still trying to get content out there. So just subscribe to where you listen to your favorite podcast, and also check out and subscribe on our YouTube, Disney Universe TV. We've been doing reviews, park videos, live chats. You know, we're trying to make some different content there, and it's still entertaining. So we started doing a She-Hulk reaction show. Hopefully we get back to that before it's done, but got plenty of stuff coming. Alex, we're going to probably try to do an old-fashioned slideshow from his trip. But yeah, you just go ahead and, like I said, subscribe at Disney Universe TV, and that is our YouTube channel. And to our friends and listeners that have been following us and listening to us for a while now, welcome back. Of course, we're glad to have you guys here, and love the interactions and friendships that we have with y'all. So thanks for coming back. And we also would like to give a special shout out to people that help support the show. It is our Patreon. We call it our DU crew. And if you'd like to join or help support the show, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/DU crew. And we got two tiers there to choose from. We got a $5 and a $2 tier. And we would love to shout out our DU crew members, super fans Jennifer and Sasquatch, Alfredo, and John. So thank you guys for being part of the crew. I got envelopes finally to send for your rewards that we're going to be sending out here real soon. So I just got a little behind You guys know my schedule's been super crazy, but we'll get those out there. We got a couple bonus shows coming out in the woodworks too. And of course, if you love wearing awesome Disney clothing, Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar, Disney parks, be sure to check out our good friends at Neverland Trading. They have a great selection of shirts, accessories, hats, everything that you can possibly need anytime you're headed to the parks, or like I said, just being out and about. They do have their Halloween collection out now, and I believe it is almost time. They have a deadline to order. We will post it on our socials once I see it, but check it out. And if you use the code at checkout, Deverse, that's D-V-E-R-S-E, you'll get a nice little discount. And of course, we'd also like to shout out our good friends at Discore Apparel. This is where they mash up metal, hip-hop, and punk with Disney characters, and coming soon, Disney attractions. And their newest shirt is the hardcore band Turnstile with a power line from Goofy. From the Goofy movie. Everything is super limited, so once it's gone, it's gone. And they are on their very last stock of that power line shirt, which is awesome. I have it. I love the clothing's comfy, so definitely check them out. That's Discore Apparel on Instagram, or just go to the website, www.discore.com. That's D-I-Z-C-R-E.com. And I wasn't really planning on doing much news, but there's a lot of things that kind of dropped since we recorded. So I'm just going to kind of briefly go over some of the big headlines. I'm not going to break down too much. These are things that we're all pretty interested in here at the Disney Universe. And we'll definitely talk about it. Probably maybe we'll do a little YouTube stream, just a little banter show and catch up with Ryan, catch up with Alex. And maybe some friends might join in on that. And we'll talk about some of these news items. But of course, one of the big things and one of the big parts of Alex's trip was Epcot's 40th anniversary that happened on October 1st. And, oh man, I don't know if you guys saw the Spaceship Earth globe at night all lit up, but it looked super awesome. Merchandise went through, of course, quickly. So, happy anniversary to Epcot. Happy 40th anniversary. This is, I've said it numerous times, my favorite park at Walt Disney World. My first trip, this was the one I was looking least forward to, but then wound up being my favorite. So, love the park. Can't wait. Hopefully, I'll be able to go. Planning on going after the new year, but we'll see what happens. But can't wait to hear about it when Alex comes back and talks about his trip. And of course, kind of sticking with the Epcot theme, it's kind of rumored here that a movie featuring beloved character Figment is in development from Seth Rogen's production company Point Grey. Saw this article on our good friends at Diz Insider's site. So definitely for more info on this, this is still kind of like an early development, kind of a rumor, something that you'll be hearing this throughout this quick little news segment, but kind of weird stuff that didn't get announced at D23, but a lot of stuff's starting to surface. And this is really exciting because I love Figment. I was expecting to hear a refurb for the Journey into Imagination ride at Epcot. I've only seen that version, which was the updated version from the original. And I think with the popularity of the comic that came out from Disney Kingdoms, it was a line from Marvel. They had two series for Figment. I think that would be a great theme or great starting point for the movie. So I'm very interested to see how this develops, and I definitely pay attention to Diz Insider for more information once this comes out. Also, another bit of news that was surprised we didn't get at D23 was a video posted on Ryan Reynolds' social medias, and basically that they're working on Deadpool 3, and he's going over story ideas and everything, and he's come up with nothing, completely drawn a blank. And so basically he's like, well, there's one thing we could do, and you see Hugh Jackman walking by, and he's like, hey, you want to be Wolverine again? He's like, yeah, sure, Ryan. So that was the official announcement, because Ryan Reynolds mentioned that they would have loved to be at D23, and they still could have shown that video at the expo in the Marvel panel, and it still would have got a huge reception, even if it was at something live on stage. So Deadpool 3 is happening with Wolverine, Hugh Jackman returning as Wolverine. It's going to be awesome. Of course, these two guys are just gold, and it was just a long time coming since the Wolverine Origins movie. So when Ryan Reynolds played Wade Wilson, everybody knows how terrible it was, but still funny. I'm super excited. Then we did another video kind of explaining the plot line. Of course, it was playing Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, so you're going to hear that. So I'm very excited. This is going to be awesome. But no date, so we'll see it real soon. And sticking with Marvel, we got a brand new trailer. This is an actual official trailer for Black Panther, and a series of amazing posters, from the regular theatrical poster to the AMC poster to the Dolby poster, the IMAX. They all look amazing. This trailer is amazing. We posted it on our Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. So if you're living under a rock somewhere and haven't seen it yet, definitely hit to our socials and check it out. Normally, if we were doing a video podcast, I'd probably play it here and just react to it. But by the time the show comes out, that majority of the world will have seen it. And it looks amazing. The new scenes we see of Namor and Shuri and M'Baku, I mean, this movie's going to be so cool. Cannot wait. So yeah, check that out. And again, sticking with the Marvel news, and check it out on the article on DizInsider.com. Armor Wars, which was a show planned for Disney Plus. This was announced as the show that was going to follow up Secret Invasion coming up on Disney Plus next year. I think earlier, mid next year. Well, now there seems like they're developing it into a film. So that's going to be super exciting. And we'll see what happens with that. The Secret Invasion looks amazing. So it only makes sense that they would up it for the Armor Wars. We're all hell supposed to break loose. So again, pay attention to Diz Insider for any up-to-date news on that. And kind of moving on, I want to end the news with this, because there's so many news and rumors in the Marvel world right now going on. But one thing that is official, and this is more for the Star Wars community, we're all big Star Wars fans here. We're all big Darth Vader fans here. Ryan even has Darth Vader tattooed on his arm. But the voice of Darth Vader ever since A New Hope, James Earl Jones, has officially announced he's retiring as voicing Darth Vader, but has given his blessing for the the technology of them. They use that technology in Obi-Wan Kenobi, where they actually recorded his dialogue, and they recorded many, many other pieces of dialogue from James Earl Jones, where they can use his actual voice in any future Darth Vader anything. So the fact that it's actually him is cool, and nobody else will ever be able to voice Darth Vader again. So well-deserved retirement. And it's, I don't know, I thought Vader sounded amazing in Obi-Wan Kenobi, as amazing as he did in the original trilogy. So congratulations, sir, on your retirement. Like I said, it's well-deserved. And and it's cool that it's your choice and he gave the okay. So I know it would have got a little weird if he wasn't here no more and they decided to tweak with it, but that's not happening. But let us know what you guys think on all those. I kind of brushed through the news really, really fast, so it's kind of hard to talk about news and not have a reaction with somebody, but like I said, we'll get to that soon. So I think this is a good time to actually get with our interview. A great talk I had with Josh Schaefer. Like I said, author of the great book, Discovering the Magic Kingdom, and an unofficial Disneyland vacation guide. This book is awesome. It's filled with fun facts, trips, and tricks, hidden Mickeys, and park history. And if you know Josh, like, he's the fun fact guy for many things, and got so much coming up in the future, and I can't wait to run into him again at MouseCon. So hope you guys enjoy my talk with Josh. All right, guys. So as promised, we've got a special guest, author, Disney facts guy, all around cool guy, pin maker, everything, fresh off D23. I got him on the show. Finally, been wanting to have him on for a while. Just haven't been able to until now. So glad to have you here, Joshua. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I was constantly visiting your guys' booth as I normally do. It's funny because mutual friends, Russ Flores, and it's funny because I haven't seen him, even though we live in the same town.
Yes.
You know, with COVID and everything. I mean, this was the first time I saw him and Lynn and you guys. I've run into you numerous times too at like MouseCon. So It was cool just to reconnect again with Disney fans and everything. So,
and being so far away, like, it's one thing to meet up here where both of us can just drive to Concord to MouseCon because it's like right here versus traveling to another side of the state and being in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I've met you a couple times in the past, and I've been wanting to get you on the show. So I'm very happy to have you on finally. And like I said, I've been I love hearing you guys. We'll talk about D23 a little bit, but one of the big things you guys do at D23, you share the booth with the Sweep Spot and yes. Rust, Seen Unseen. I call it the book corner.
Well, our booth is called the Disney Book Nerds.
Yeah.
So,
and you have a very awesome, interesting, very big book. Tell us about it. And
thank you.
A little bit what it took to get that going.
Well, let's see. I started going to Disneyland in 2001. I was already 21 years old, and I had been when I was younger, but I don't really remember it. But I actually started in 2001 because I could pay for myself because I'm an adult. And I got a season pass, and I went every single year. And I've always been a fun fact kind of guy, like little bits of trivia about things. Like, did you know that a flamingo is pink because, and you know, just stuff like that. But I started learning Disney fun facts, like the Walt's apartment above the firehouse, or the basketball hoop and the Matterhorn and stuff like that. And I was like, these are cool fun facts. And so I started writing them down, and then I would take them to the park with me when I'd go, and I would share them with people in line, and then I would hear more. I would talk to cast members, and I would hear more, and I would write those down. And back when I started writing in 2006, the internet had only been around for like 8 years or something. There wasn't a whole lot of websites out there dedicated to history of Disneyland, and there wasn't as many books out because like self-publishing or Amazon publishing is really popular now. Like, people can, you know, just put out books all the time now, but whereas it was harder to find publishers back then. So it was difficult to find new information. But I built up a book, and I printed it out with 67 pages, and I put it in clear slips and little binders, and I'd sell them on eBay. I sold 13 of them. And someone's like, you need to have a section for fast passes, and someone's else like, you should have a section for like the attractions that are gone, and all sorts of stuff, and coming up with new ideas to add in. So I decided to make it bigger and fatter. And someone said, you need to just have this made into a book. Cause before I was going to make it into like a pamphlet type of thing, like a little, like a magazine or something. And in 2010, in October, my first book came out, my first edition, and it was 210 pages, and it had about 1,000 fun facts in it. And as soon as it came out, I started working on a second one. Not like all the time, but I would like add to it here and there. And in 2016, I was interviewed on the Sweep Spot. And then shortly after that, Lynn and Ken emailed me and said, hey, do you want to share our booth at D23 in 2017? And I was like, yes, I do. I need to get my new book done because now it's been 6 years since my first edition, and now there's new attractions that have opened. Some of them have gone away. So I just, every single night like this for 7 months, I was writing, 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 and I wrote almost a third of the book which is 700 pages in 7 months. And there's over 3,700 fun facts in this one about the Disneyland Resort. So it's Disneyland, California Adventure, some for Downtown Disney and the hotels, and Disney movies. So it's like the biggest collection of fun facts that you could find for the Disney Resort and movies. Because a lot of the movies tie into things around the resort.
Yeah.
And that came out in 2017. And since then, I started working on a trilogy, three-volume set, which is just movies. And it has a section for Marvel, Lucasfilm, Pixar, Walt Disney Animation, Walt Disney Live Action. One book's going to have Jim Henson in it and stuff like that. And so each book's going to have all of those sections, and in all of those sections are going to have every movie that they've made. So you can find in Walt Disney Animation, you'll find Snow White all the way down through Zootopia, Moana, Frozen 2, like all of those are in there. And like, so let's say Zootopia, I have 309 fun facts for Zootopia. 309. That's like the most for any movie. That's why I like using that as an example. So each volume will have 103 fun facts in it. So you can get either volume and it'll have Zootopia in it, and it'll have all different fun facts. So you can get either volume, it'll be different than the other volume. And then that, down the line, I can do a volume 4 or 5, 6, whatever.
Oh yeah, that sounds awesome. And especially like me coming back, coming off, I've done like pub trivia hosting mm-hmm. in the past, and all the stuff on the internet sucks. It's your basic and stuff. So this sounds like perfectly for all those trivia heads out there that like to run a fun.
What kind of an animal was Mufasa?
Yeah, exactly.
He was a zebra.
How many teeth did he have? No, that sounds awesome. And that's in the works right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been working on that. I'm actually writing it right now before I called you.
Oh, nice.
I'm working my way through the Marvel movies. It's one of those things, because I have ADHD, so I get distracted easily. And I just decided to redo my whole bar out in my dining room and turn it into a tiki bar. So nice. I'll send you pictures of it. But awesome. I spent a lot of time doing that. I got this tiki stitch that's hanging on the wall, and I got tiki hitchhiking ghosts from the Haunted Mansion, but they're tiki themed, and they're hanging on the side of the bar. It's just, I just get distracted easily and do different projects all the time, or I'll come up with a pin idea like I did yesterday, and I started working on it today, and I'm like, I need to get my writing done. But now I'm just like, okay, focus on Marvel first. I'm going through in release order rather than alphabetical, because a lot of if you're watching them in release order, they're not really going to reference future movies because they haven't been made yet.
Yeah.
So when you watch, you know, like let's say Ant-Man, it might have something in it that references Iron Man because that came out way before. So I started with Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, which is what I'm on right now. I have stuff for all the other movies. It's just I'm focusing doing super research on each movie now.
Yeah.
Get Marvel done out of the way. I'm stopping all my movies in 2022. So if I'm writing into 2023, any movies that come out then will be future volumes. I have too much to keep up with to get now. I already have so far right now, it's 1,000 pages long, which will, this will all be divided into three. So it's 1,000 pages and almost 8,000 fun facts right now.
Oh, wow.
As it is. And I haven't started writing about the live action movies yet, like Old Yeller and
Treasure Island,
Family Robinson and Toby Tyler, like all those. I haven't even started writing about those yet. There's not as much information for those, which is why I'm waiting, because they're older and things weren't documented like they are now, where everybody has, you know, cameras in their pockets on their phones and everything's just better documented. So there's more information out there now. So you can look up information about the Guardians of the Galaxy and there's gonna be so much information. But then when you look up, you know, Toby Tyler, maybe two dozen fun facts or bits of information. So then you also have to find interviews with people, which is what I did. I watch a lot of interviews. I watch a lot of behind the scenes footage, interviews with the director, stuff like that. That's where I get all of my information from. So this information is out there. I just get it all and put it in one place. So like when I'm talking about Jim Dale, like I mentioned earlier, nobody's going to have a Disney book that talks about Jim Dale. Oh, by the way, he's really famous for narrating all of the Harry Potter audiobooks, and he's got 2 Guinness Book of World Records, and he did 300 voices for all of those. He's in several Disney movies. Like, no Disney book is going to have that. But my, I have I have extra things that aren't Disney related, but they're related to that movie. Like I was telling somebody today, because I got a bunch of mosquito bites on my hands from at work because mosquitoes are dumb.
Yeah.
In A Bug's Life, the bug pulls up to the bar and says, I want a Bloody Mary. O positive. Well, he was a male mosquito and males don't bite you. Females do because they need the protein in your blood for their eggs. And you're more prone to getting bit if you have O positive blood. So like those are two not related to the Disney movies at all, but it's related to mosquitoes. And so it's right there underneath the the fun fact for Bug's Life.
And here I am. I work in pest management and pest control. And I did not know that.
Really? Well, I kept getting bit during the middle of the day. It was lunchtime. And I'm like, why are these mosquitoes still out? The sun is out. And I wear gloves at work, except they're like cloth gloves. It's just so I don't get splinters in my fingers from the steaks. And I would feel it biting me through the glove. And I would look, it would be at my glove. I'm like, no. Oh, man. So I got these red bumps on the backs of my hand. They itched. They don't right now, but.
Oh, that's good.
I don't like mosquitoes.
Me neither. I hate them and they love me, especially around my ankles. Real quick, going back to the Marvel book you're doing, are you including the Disney Plus shows also or just the films?
So right now that I'm going to do the shows, but those are going to be in the next volume.
Oh, gotcha.
Just because when I started writing these books, I didn't intend for the shows yet because I started working on them before Disney Plus came out.
Yeah.
And then all of these shows are coming out. I'm like, there's no way I can keep up with all of these shows. Okay, that's just going to be, they're going to be special like in volume 4, you know, and then new shows keep coming out or different seasons and it keeps adding to it. And this is one thing that's different from my Disney book is movies are being made all the time. Disneyland history, it's history. That's the past. It's there now and it's always going to be there. But these movies keep coming out now. And it changes information, like especially the Marvel movies, it'll change what things mean in previous movies.
Yeah.
So like, I gotta get it all too. And then especially in future books, if I learn more, let's say about Iron Man 2, something else, you know, more information comes out, Iron Man 2 will be in volume 4 and it'll have 8 fun facts or something instead of, you know, I have like 145 fun facts for Iron Man 1, 2. I'm still adding to, but yeah. So like, it's a lot. It's taken a lot of time.
Well, you mentioned Incredible Hulk, and there's certain storylines that are tying into the newest MCU show, She-Hulk, and which is pretty cool. How that's the one universal property in the bunch that they are very careful not to say Universal when they announce some characters. But no, that's really cool. I'm really looking forward to that. And like you said, the other mini IPs that Disney owns now.
I have a special section. Do you know what Studio Ghibli is?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a special set. Well, here's the stickers on the back of my phone.
Oh, nice.
I like Studio Ghibli. I grew up with it in the 80s because we had a Japanese exchange student and he brought VHS tapes with him to our house and would translate the Japanese to English for us because there's no subtitles yet. They hadn't made their deal to have them dubbed over in English. They did that with Disney in 1998.
Yeah.
So after that's when we started getting Ghibli more of them in English because they made a deal in 92 with another company. But then Spirited Away came out and that's what blew it up. Like they became super popular and still to this day, Spirited Away 2001 is still the top grossing film in Japan.
Wow.
Even though it was 21 years ago. Well, I have, that's going to be a special for one volume. Jim Henson will be in another volume and then Disney Afternoon will be in the third volume. So it's like these specific things won't be divided because there's not enough to split them into three. Might as well just have like it be a special. So if you do get a different volume, that will be different from volume to volume.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They no longer have their deal with Disney, so they're not doing any new ones now, but Disney.
Yeah. I wondered about that when I saw that they have their own section on like HBO Max. Which is cool. I'm happy they have that, but I'm like, hey, that's weird. That's not on Disney Plus. I had no idea. Again, I'm learning a lot already.
I have all of them on Blu-ray, all the ones that were available on Blu-ray, because I like them. And if you don't want them to go away, you know, movies get taken off of streaming services. Have the physical copy.
DVD I'm a big physical copy person. I mean, you can't tell here, but I got all my Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and Marvel and
And you mentioned Tiki. I got my Tiki mugs here, so I'm just like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I got a Tiki spinoff, so I'm not even, don't get me started on that. But no, I'm a physical copy person, which is why I'm bummed they haven't yet or even announced releasing like the Mandalorian Blu-ray.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, because Star Wars fans are completists. We have multiple versions of the VHSs. We got the DVDs. We got the Blu-rays. So it's like, and yes, even Netflix, yeah, they'll release, I have the first two seasons of Stranger Things because I'm a sucker for great marketing, and they are coming the giant VHS containers for Blu-ray.
Oh, wow. I have not even seen that.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you a picture once we're done. But I'm like, oh, I'm a sucker for good marketing because it looks like an old Blockbuster video rental thing.
Yeah, that's cool. I worked at Blockbuster for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Hollywood video guy, but
I'm just kidding. I like Hollywood video too. But I started collecting a lot more movies when I was working there because I shut down a store. I was there for 3 months and like, we're shutting down. This was 2007. So this was back when stores were starting to shut down because Netflix was out. And we had destroy lists. Hey, here's thousands of movies. We want you to shred them all. And my manager was like, okay, one for you, 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 one for you. And so
get right on that, wink, wink.
We got all sorts of movies. And I have 9,800 DVDs in my collection now of movies. And I have a special superhero section in my theater on the wall that has, I don't know, 800 movies in it and TV shows. It's like all the superhero shows and movies ever made.
Wow.
Even ones that aren't like Marvel and DC, like smaller ones, like, you know, like Men in Black. Well, wait, wasn't that Marvel comic?
That was Dark Horse. Men in Black.
Was it Marvel?
I think it's Dark Horse, isn't it?
Dark Horse. I do have a section. I have a section in my Marvel section that lists all of the all of the actors that are in the MCU movies. It lists other movies or shows that were also comic book based. So like not just, you know, Chris Evans, who was also Human Torch in Fantastic Four, and he's Captain America.
Exactly.
Because like, he was also in that Scott Pilgrim?
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim. He was
also in that comic
book. The actor boyfriend.
Losers. He was in Losers. That's DC. Snowpiercer. That's DC. That was after the Avengers came out.
I love Losers. That is such a great movie.
It is. That's really good. So in the end scene that they added into the Avengers where they were eating shawarma.
Yeah.
And you see Captain America sitting over there like this on his hand eating. Well, he has a prosthetic latex on his face because he had his beard for Snowpiercer. So opening night of that movie, the premiere night where they had the red carpet and stuff, that scene was not in the movie because they filmed it after the premiere night.
Yeah.
And they got all the actors because they were all there for the premiere. And so they put latex on here, and Chris Hemsworth was not as bulky as he was. So he's kind of loose in his suit, his Thor suit. And so Chris Evans is covering his face because you can't, like, he started filming the other movie as a beard. So
at least they hit. I had no idea. And they hit that better than Superman's mustache.
Superman's mustache.
On the reshoots. So.
See, I got this.
Oh, nice.
I was a huge Superman fan, and I got that before the MCU was created.
Hey, I'm still a fan of the, I know it gets a lot of, and it's not Disney, but I don't care. I'm a fan of the Zack Snyder films. I don't care what people say.
Okay, good.
I love them. And I loved his cut. I'm glad they released his cut.
Yes. Justice. Oh, me too. Oh, it's so great. I'm just a huge fandom type of person. So I like movies that have Transformers, you know,
there's
a bunch of movies involved with that. So I like the Transformers franchise. And like we said, talked about Lord of the Rings with the Hobbits. And I like the Resident Evils and the Underworlds and Harry Potter, you know, which is another huge one. All the Star Wars. And everything. I like all of those fandoms.
And James Bond.
I got the huge box of the James Bond. It has it has books in it. You pull the book out and you flip from page to page, and it has the Blu-ray disc of every movie starting with Sean Connery all the way up until 2 ago.
Oh, okay.
So when lockdown happened, my wife and I sat at home because we were supposed to be on our honeymoon 2 years late from our wedding because of work and stuff. And anyway, we booked our Hawaii trip and then lockdown. So canceled Hawaii, but stayed on home vacation. So I put the love seat in my theater. It pushed the theater seats forward so we could like be comfortable in there watching movies. And we watched all the James Bonds and we went through Rush Hours and a bunch of all the Die Hards and the Lethal Weapons. Like we went through and just watched movies, a lot of movies.
That's cool. I love series too, because before we started recording, I mentioned we were talking about Lord of the Rings and stuff. I'm like, I like the audiobooks that I've been recently getting into, because it's like, I don't like to read, but I love stories, and I love what movies always used to do. Instead of being so critical about movies, I like the escapism of getting. And so I like these series, obviously Star Wars, Back to the Futures and all that. So, yeah, you know, I got my all the Transformers also. So it would sure cracks me when people just hate on movies, because it's like, I don't know. It's I know we hit a weird rare spot when the Lord of the Rings trilogy came out. You had critically acclaimed Oscar quality fantasy movies that the crowd, you know, the fans also loved. So then everybody expects these just, I don't know, these masterpieces on everything, and forgot about the popcorn movies just for fun, you know?
Yeah. Well, and with the Lord of the Rings trilogy, they wanted them to make it one movie.
Yeah.
And what? I mean, and then they take the Hobbit one book and turn it into three movies, which disappointed me about the Lego Hobbit video game, because I have an Xbox in my theater 360, and so I like playing the Lego games. So Harry Potter and Pirates of the Caribbean are like my favorites, but I've got the Hobbits, and it only goes through the second movie, because that's what was out by the time the game came out, and they didn't want to reveal the third movie, so the game ends. The end. You won. Yay. But it was only the second movie. And I'm like, where do they go with the Eagles? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So, man, yeah, you're a very busy guy.
I am, because on the side of working on my book trilogy right now, I do sell pins. I design Disney fantasy pins. I'm almost at 140 designs that I've done. And I have 7 designs that are being made right now in production. Two of them are commissioned, 3 of them are commissioned pins. So those I won't be getting, but I do, in my negotiations get to keep 2 for myself, 1 for my pin board and 1 for my wife's, cause I give her one of all the ones that I make. So I always make those negotiations. All right, here's your pins. I get to keep 2 of them though. And they're always like, yeah, sure. Cool. But, I'm also the manager for Gina Rock, the longest flying Tinkerbell in Disneyland history.
Yeah.
She flew from 1983 until 2005. So if you saw the fireworks in that time, that was her. And so I run her website. I get her on podcasts. I sell her autographs for her. She's super busy. She, her job is to go to natural disasters after they occur and assess property damage. And her first one was Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, wow.
That was her first job. And so like right now we have all these hurricanes coming in. She's like, you know, I could be, you know, deployed somewhere else with all this stuff going on. It just depends on if anything happens or she's needed or she goes where the disasters are. Mudslides, floods, tornadoes, all sorts of stuff. And she's been doing that since 2005. Before Tinkerbell, she was in the circus. Are you a WWF fan from the 80s?
I stopped. Ryan and Alex are. And speaking of Alex, he might run into her and the hurricane and Walt Disney World that's going on.
But you know who like Macho Man Randy Savage is. Junkyard Dog. Okay. She used to date Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like, that's a fun fact. Like,
that is an awesome fact. I ran into him a few times when I lived in Portland. Oregon, so he was a staple around certain businesses and and stuff. But no, that's really cool. And that she does like that. And how did you get into kind of like,
with her,
like a man, I guess, in ways a manager, but not, or just kind of a booker.
She calls me her public relations manager or PR manager. In November of 2015, the week before MouseCon, the first MouseCon, she emailed me and she's like, "Hi, I flew as Tinkerbell. How did you know about me? Because I wrote a blog that listed the different Tinkerbells who flew in Disneyland, and it said her name, Gina Rock. Period." That was the end of the fun fact. That's all I knew about her was that person. And I said, oh, well, I'm a, you know, a Disney historian. And I researched to see who, you know, things like that. And she's like, oh, okay. Hey, I want you to write an article about what I'm doing now. Oh, Sure. So I interviewed her and it got the article got published in the Disneyana newsletter.
Wow.
And it went around to all the Disney fan clubs and 2006, that was 25th. See, it came out in early 2016. And then in summer of 2016, she's like, I want you to be my manager. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. So, so then it's just from there, I've just been doing it for years. And her website has tons of pictures and blogs and stuff on it that she's written. Yeah, I copy paste what she writes and I put it on her blog because I do all that stuff.
Oh,
so
cool.
She just emails it to me or tells me what she needs edited. I run her Facebook page. So if you go to the Flying Tinkerbell, then that's her page. Oh, by the way, Tinkerbell is two different words, not
yeah.
one word. A lot of people spell Tinkerbell as one word, but it's not.
That's why I probably saw her, looked up at her plenty of times growing up. And
oh, yeah, me too. Like I did go in 83. That was my first time. I was 3 years old. And that was the year she started. And Tinkerbell did fly for the fireworks. I don't remember. My mom told me it was there. And I was like, that's so weird. Your first year flying was my first time to see Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
And that was you. But no Tinkerbell flew for like 7 years before her. Because then they were redoing the new Fantasyland. And so they reopened it in 83. And that was, she was new Tinkerbell. Yeah, that was her. That was her.
that is awesome. That's a cool little like gig that kind of fell into your lap.
Yeah. In a way, you know? Yeah, it is. And then like I write articles for magazines like Theme Parkology Magazine. I've been in several documentaries for Theme Parkology. So I'm on a couple of their DVDs. One of them I was talking about this place behind me, New Orleans Square, and talking about the fire insurance plaques that are on the wall. Right. There's one right there. and it was based on the 1800s where they had fire insurance plaques up near the second floor and people who paid fire insurance got their house put out first if there was a fire. And so Disneyland has those all over the place. There's like 9 of them, I think, around New Orleans Square. And then the poles right behind me have these spikes on them. And those are called Romeo spikes. And that would keep young men from climbing to the second story balconies, you know, to get with the young women. So it's like from Romeo and Juliet, and that's what they're called. And those are real things from New Orleans too. So they're just like little things that Disney has there that people don't even notice. So I talked about those.
Yeah. And I grew up, you know, obviously, you know, spent my whole life going to Disneyland and loving New Orleans Square, finally making it to New Orleans for the actual New Orleans, like in 2012. And I was like, man, this looks like Disneyland. You know, just not thinking Disneyland looks so much like Louisiana that they did that great of a job of the land at New Orleans Square that, I mean, it, and to me, it felt like I was at Disneyland more than New Orleans, which is kind of funny. But if you don't mind, tell us a little bit more about your work and friendship with Jerry, who does theme park ecology. Because so, that's where I first met you. You guys were together at MouseCon.
Yeah.
But next to each other.
Yeah, we were booth neighbors. And then we started teasing each other because his documentaries are about Disney history. And then I have my book about Disney history. And so he would say like, oh, why would you get a book when you can watch it on TV? And I was like, why would you watch it on TV when you can get more information from a book? And he's like, I use those as doorstops. And I said, I use yours as coasters. Like we would tease each other all the time, but then we'd send people to each other's booths. And then he started doing a thing like, hey, if you get his book, you get like 10% off of your order of movies. And he's got like 80 documentaries now.
Wow.
I created an entire Wikipedia page for his company. It took me a couple days to do. I listed all of my sources for everything. And they said, it's not the right kind of sources. Cause I have his Better Business Bureau link to show that he's a real company. IMDb, some of his stuff is on there. A couple articles, but it wasn't enough for them. So they haven't approved the page to actually become a live page for Theme Parkology. There's even pictures on there. Like, come on, you can't have this. There's like tons of people tagged in here, like Bob Gurr and Rolly Crump, and it goes to their own pages, and Terry Harden goes to her page. Like, there's a lot of that stuff, and it's a very interactive page. But nope, it's just sitting in it's called a sandbox, which is like an editing page. But anyway, yeah, so Jerry does all that stuff, and now he's created an LLC with Sandra Nelson, who was Darth Vader for 12 years for Lucasfilm, and they both work on these projects, and the one is Heroes of Extinction, the audio drama, and these are all, most of them are audio dramas.
Yeah.
But there's the, I can't even think of some of the names. There's a futuristic one called Extinguished Worlds, and then there's one of a, she's a psychic who solves crimes, and but she's, it's in the early 1900s. Like, there's just so many projects they're doing right now. Some of them I don't even know about, because it's just like, well, I'll read more into them once it's time to like work on them, you know, but I have them written down. I just don't know much about them. But like I had said earlier, that the audio shows are like, this is like part of the future now for voice actors. And we have,
yeah.
And I can't say some of the people that are coming for the future things, but some of them were in this one guy is in Indiana Jones, Harry Potter, and Star Wars. He was in all of those.
Those are good movies.
Yes, they are. Have you heard of those franchises at all?
I might have here and there.
I don't know. That that Indiana Wars one sounds pretty.
Indiana like, Wars and the Deathly Follows.
There you go. There's just voice actors from like video games and cartoon series and stuff like that. And they're all getting involved with these projects because it's exciting. You can do the recordings from your house. So
yeah. Because I know you guys teased it at last year's MouseCon, but the one before COVID hit.
Yeah, we talked about it. Did we play an audio clip?
I believe you played a little clip because everybody did. I want to say it was like a sci-fi one or
no,
maybe not. I don't know.
That must have been a different pro. We started recording during lockdown.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't 2020 because that MouseCon was over Zoom. The second one. So last year was when we played the actual first clips of it.
Okay.
So the other clips must have been some other project he was
doing. You might have teased it, but maybe there wasn't a clip yet, but it was just the fact that you guys were teaming up together for it, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows?
I just remember I worked at the refinery in Martinez. I was an operator there, and they shut down because of COVID and laid 720 people off. Yeah. But when they would do the script reads, and I wasn't busy at work, I would, because we were in standby mode. We weren't making fuel. So we all just kind of like sat around at work, making sure no emergencies happening, not happening. And we weren't making fuel. So I would go to the very top of the tower, like 800 feet up, not that high, but like really far up. And I would sit up there because it's the quietest area. And I would be there on the Zoom call with them as they were reading through the scripts, because they do table reads, just to be part of it. And then you see me in the Zoom, I've got my hard hat on, and there's like the refinery behind me, and everybody else is sitting at their desk or on their sofa
in their PJs. And
yeah.
Or their, what was the Zoom look? The dress shirts and boxer shorts.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm really looking forward to that again. I know we've talked about, D23 and MouseCon, but, we are, you know, since we're done with D23, we are looking forward to another MouseCon coming up in November. Any, I'm guessing you guys are going to be there. Any panels again, or?
I think he's planning on another panel because that's going to be very close to the release of them. And, I will have my booth there, and Jerry will have his, and Andrew will be there, and some other people possibly. Because a lot of the other people involved don't live near here.
Yeah.
They're further south. The last MouseCon, the one that was up in Bakersfield in January, like Isaac Singleton Jr. went to that one, and Mary Gibbs was at that one. And so we did a panel there, and there was five of us, and we all sat up there talking and stuff. So there's a cool picture. Oh, yeah, I created Mary Gibbs' Wikipedia page because she didn't have one for some reason. I mean, like, oh, it's only Monsters, Inc. from Pixar. Like, nobody cares. What? Why doesn't she have a page? So I created a whole page for her because Mary Gibbs is an actual person that lived in, like, the 1800s. So we had to put in Mary Gibbs actress, like, for her page. And so now I get an alert every time her page is linked to another page where it's talking about Pixar or anything like that. And so it's been linked over like 30 different pages, like that's already. Crazy. That's how popular her page is. So if you go there and you look at her picture, like the picture of her, I took that at MouseCon, and then there's the picture of us from our panel that's on there also.
You know,
because her only voice role that she had was as Boo. That's it. And then it got some of her recordings got reused for Baby Riley and Inside Out, and then some video game something else. But it's all archive recordings. So now it has like all this stuff from Boo and now Heroes of Extinction.
That is cool. And I just kind of want to give another just quick shout out to how cool MouseCon is, because just like the connections that like your friendships with Jerry and that have formed, and
Andrew,
and I was even talking about and he's a staple in a lot of Northern California conventions
all over.
I see him in
England.
Yeah.
And somebody came up to the table and like, I like the Heroes of Extinction episode, because we put out episode one for people to listen to. He's like, you heard it all the way over here? Yeah. It's going around. People are looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. Andrew goes to all of them.
And we're talking about a friend of the show, Matt Robinson, tattoo artist out of Vacaville, because I was drinking out of my bottle. He's like, hey, I got that pin of the sticker you have. And
yeah.
And he did a piece on my arm just because I met him at MouseCon. And we've been friends since. And then I think during last year's MouseCon, Mary Gibbs had him do a piece on her that was a little sketch of Boo, but something that her dad loved.
Oh, that's cool.
Or something like that. So it's just kind of cool. Like, just, it's a little convention, bunch of Disney nerds, but just the connections and friendships.
It gets bigger every single year. It's the first Sunday of every November. It's at the Sheridan Hotel in Concord. It's from 10 to 5, and I believe it's only $10 to get in. But there's like Disney artists, like Rick Law was there. He was a Disney concept artist. No, he's just, you know, I know he designed a lot of like DVD covers and stuff.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other stuff that he's done, and just painters and actors,
legends,
Disney Imagineers, legends. Yeah. What's his name? I just wrote a blank on his name. I saw a picture he posted earlier today of him when he started working at Disney in the 50s, because he started working on Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, Floyd
Norman.
Yeah, I went to his panel because I missed him at the D23 that year before. Then he was there and got into his panel, and that was so awesome. And
he came by our booth that I at D23 this last week. That
the nice
last one. And he's been up here. Margaret Carey, the model for Tinkerbell, she was up there.
Bob Gurr.
Bob's been up there. And then Karen Daughtrice from Mary Poppins.
She played
Jane Banks. She's been there. Kat Cressida from the Haunted Mansion. She's the voice of the Attic Bride, and she does Jessie in video games from Toy Story and tons of other. She's a voice actor. She does a lot of. If you find a voice actor actress, you go to their IMDb page. Hundreds of credits. It's just a lot.
Linda Larkin, Jasmine was there couple years.
Linda Larkin was there.
It's a fun convention.
Irene Bedard, the voice of Pocahontas, was there.
Yeah.
So if you need to go to MouseCon in Concord, it's the first and only right now Disney convention in Northern California.
Yeah, and I'm planning. I'll be there.
Yeah, for sure. I'm telling everybody else who's listening, you need to be there in November. Just it's mouse-con.com.
Awesome. And kind of jumping back to your pins real quick before we go. I know what one of your big parts of the pins is Stitch, right? I mean, you do a lot of Stitch mashups, or
I do a lot of Stitch mashups because Stitch is really popular. Like I have this one where Stitch is flying on the X-wing with
BB-8. Awesome.
I'm almost out of this one. I've done, this is number 296 that I signed. So I've done 300 of them. I'm not making any more. Somebody bootlegged my design and flipped the image over. So it's reversed image pin, and they're selling it on eBay. And I was like, that's my pin. And so I messaged them, hey, where did you get those pins? Like, we bought them from a company. Which company? Like, that's my design that I came up. And then they blocked me, and I'm like, whatever. So once I sell all these, I'm not doing them anymore.
That's a bummer. That's a great design.
And that's the second one too. I did a Stitch and Harry Potter crossover one that was bootlegged also. But that one was a limited edition. We did 200 of them. I did them for a client. I got 100. They got 100. So we sold 200 of them, and now somebody's bootlegging them with a different color metal, and the quality is not as good.
Yeah.
But I was like, whatever. It's kind of flattering. Like, oh, somebody, that's my design that's out there now. Of course, you know, these are fantasy pins, and these characters do belong to Disney. So it's just for fun to make these and stuff. So it's not like I don't have any claim over them, but yeah, I do a lot of Stitch. One of the ones I started today is with Stitch too. And I came up with the idea yesterday while we're driving up to Wheatland. And I was like, oh, I got this idea for a Stitch pin. So I email myself my thoughts. That way I don't get home. I'm like, what was that thing I was thinking about?
So I hear you. Today. I have podcast ideas as I'm driving to work. Then I get home. I'm like, oh, crap. Who was I trying to contact or what do I want to talk about? But
well, if I listen to the podcast, like the Bancroft Brothers podcast. So Tony Bancroft, the director of Mulan and the animator of Mushu and Kronk and not Mushu. That's Tom Bancroft, his brother.
Oh,
what was I saying? Kronk, Pumbaa, Cogsworth, and Iago. So he animated all of them. And he was up here at MouseCon and we got to have dinner with him the night before. And I talked to him and his wife and Bob Gurr was sitting right there and Margaret Carey was sitting on the other side of him. I'm like, this is the best dinner ever.
Yeah.
But I listened to his podcast and that's some cool fun fact information. So I have a digital recorder and I'm like, okay, look up the information about such and such and such and to research it so I can write about it. Because that's when I learn things. I'm listening to these people talk about the projects they've worked on.
Yeah.
But it's like, I didn't see this anywhere. Like how, what? You based Pumbaa rubbing his belly, looking up at the stars off of your pregnant wife laying on the sofa?
What?
And she told me that while we were eating dinner.
That's awesome. And again, going back to like Bob Gurr and Floyd Norman and Margaret Carey. I mean, you got these people that actually have Walt Disney stories.
Yep.
I mean, hearing it from their mouths rather than, you know, somebody else saying, oh, I heard that he did this and I heard that he did this. I read somewhere, but you hear from, you know, the horse's mouth, you know, I hate to use that term, but and that's what's so amazing because, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had two different Disney Imagineers that wrote the forewords for my book. One of them was Rolly Crump, who worked with Disney and he started working on the Haunted Mansion. He worked on the Tiki Room and Small World. So if you go to the Tiki Room and you see the gods out in the pre-show, he sculpted all those. He sculpted the fountain inside and the tikis on the wall. He did a ton of stuff for the Haunted Mansion, but only 25% of it ended up in there because he was working on the Museum of the Weird.
Yeah.
And then Terry Harden worked on Muppet Vision 3D, Captain EO, Big Thunder and Splash Mountain for Florida. And she did stuff for Tokyo and Hong Kong and Dragon's Lair in Paris. And she wrote my other foreword.
Very
cool. She's been up here at MouseCon before too.
Yeah, I met her. She's a really cool person. And
she's got a lot. You want to talk to somebody for a bunch of hours? Talk to her. Yeah. She's got so many stories. Well, my wife had lunch with her at D23 because we couldn't get her a vendor ticket because you only get four per booth. And if you need an extra one, you have to go in a lottery before you can spend the $250 to get an extra ticket.
Oh, jeez.
And so she didn't get one. And so she was just going to wait at the hotel because I was only selling my books at D23. I wasn't selling my pins. So really, I didn't need like an assistant to help me do all this stuff. It's just my book, right?
Yeah.
And Terry's like, hey, I'm not going to use my ticket on Sunday. You know, does Ashley want it? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. So she met with her for lunch and then she gave her ticket and they had fun and they had chicken and waffles.
Uh-huh. Very good.
I mean, I was like, just bragging rights. You can be like, hey, I had lunch with the Disney Imagineer today.
had Roscoe's. I don't know if it was Roscoe's, but
I don't know. I have no idea where they went.
I know it's down the street. So,
but it was the highlight of her day.
Oh, that's awesome. And it's those stories that you always find at D23, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. You just meet so many people and hear stories. And that's where I get a lot of more information from my books. I do take a lot of notes. So,
oh, awesome. No, I can't wait to what you got coming. I can literally talk to you for hours and don't want to take too much more time off your Sunday. I'll see you in a few months at MouseCon. But
yes.
Thank you for coming on the show. Finally, you always have an open door anytime you want to come chat. Sweet. Anytime. And just would you like to let our listeners know where they can find you, find your books, find your pins?
Yes.
Find Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell.
So all of my stuff, I created one website and then you go to the website and it links out to all the different things. It's DisneyGuy.org because I'm the Disney guy. And it has the link to go to Tinkerbell's page. It has the link to go to my pin shop. You can get books straight on my website. It's 700 pages. It's 1¾ inches wide. Thick. You can stand it up on. It's like you don't need bookends for it. It's a great conversation starter. It's more like an encyclopedia than like a chapter book because you can go through and read land to land and then attraction by attraction and learn fun facts that way. So I do sign them. Right now I'm having a sale on my first edition because I found boxes of them stuffed in the back corner of my spare room. I was reorganizing after I got back because I sold almost 80 books at D23. Uh-huh. So I was reorganizing all the boxes and I was like, oh, I have more hardbounds because I sold the last of them at D23. I was so excited. I sold out of hardbounds. I started pulling out boxes. I'm like, yay, hardbounds. What is this? No, this is my first edition. I had a bunch of those made when my second edition came out because the trucks broke down. I was having issues with my first publisher. They weren't going to be here in time. So I'm like, okay, let me just get a bunch of my first edition so I have something to sell just in case. And so I found 80 of them.
Oh, wow.
So nice. I'm selling those for $5. Just get them out of here. They cost me way more to have printed, but you know, people can have 1,000 fun facts for $5. I'll sign it, ship it out. My paperback right now is $15 and I do have 15 left hardbounds and those are 20.
Sweet. Yeah, that's awesome. Jump on it now.
Jump on it now. I sign them. They get mailed out 3 days a week with pins. So they make great Christmas presents.
Yes.
I do sell more around Christmas time. So.
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome. I
personalize it too. When you order it, put in the notes. This is for Bob. He's a Disney fan. So I'll be like, to Bob, the number one Disney fan. I hope you enjoy my book, Joshua Schaefer.
Nice.
Draw a little Mickey head.
Joshua, thank you. Once again, thank you for coming. Hopefully I can make it to one of your awesome movie nights also.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Sure. Come down. We love movie fans.
I am definitely one of those. And yeah, like I said, I'll see you the first Sunday of November.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right, guys, I hope you really enjoyed that. Like I said, it's just an easy conversation, just two buddies nerding out on Disney, Marvel, Star Wars, everything in between. So check out his book, like I said, Discovering the Magic Kingdom. He's got the new second edition out, and you can get that on Amazon or his website. Go to Disney Guy on Instagram, and you could go to his link tree in the bio and take you everywhere you need to go. So definitely check it out there. But yeah, that is our show, 119. Thank you guys for listening and interacting with us and everything. We'll be getting back to normal here on our next episode. Like I said, Alex will be back, Ryan will be back, and we'll be pretty much having a pretty big trip report from Alex and Addie's honeymoon at Walt Disney World. We'll hear what Ryan's been up to in his busy wedding season as a photographer. So we also had, I think I mentioned earlier, but not only did they go to Disney World for their honeymoon, but it was also Alex's birthday. So happy birthday, Alex. Ryan had a recent birthday last month too. So I had a birthday in August. So this is our birthday season coming to an end. But since it's this episode is specific, happy birthday, Alex. Love having you on the show, and you definitely bring a fun vibe here. So can't wait to hear about your trip next episode. But thank you guys for interacting with us. Thank you to our DU crew, Jennifer, Sasquatch, John, Alfredo, and check out our good friends at Neverland Trading and Discord Apparel. And we will see you guys real soon. It's spooky season and a lot of fun stuff happening. So until next episode, see ya. Like me.